I just want to welcome everyone to the Weight Loss Coach Podcast. We're on episode 19, and man, today it's going to be a little cringy. Going to get a lot of people hopefully to thinking, and most importantly, I'm hoping that if you have an addiction, you know, that this will help you out, because I just don't think it's being addressed. And actually, to be quite transparent, lately I've just been really studying and learning about the true reasons people do what they do. In regards to addictions or just some of the things you may do that could be self-sabotaging. And it's pretty interesting stuff, but makes so much sense. So I just want to start off talking about, you know, obviously the weight loss coach is about, you know, different areas of people understanding themselves and why they can't lose weight, keep it off. So this one's going to be about food addiction. But I want you to apply it to anything else in life that you may have an addiction to, or you know someone who does. I just want you to be open-minded, put down judgmental reasons of the addiction, and try to hear this a little bit, okay? And hopefully it'll make sense and touch you a little bit. So, food addiction. First of all, people in society are always pointing to people who overeat, you know, are overweight, and they blatantly just kind of point at them like, well, they just don't know what kind of eating, as if it's something that they can switch on and off. And I dare say I've met anyone that I've coached, you know, females and males, who have said, no, I just like being overweight, and I love to just eat and, you know, be addicted to it, okay? They don't like being addicted to food any more than a person who's addicted to drugs, pornography, alcohol, nicotine. We can run the list of addictions, okay? And what we do as a society is like, well, wait a minute. You know, the food addiction is not the same as pornography addiction, okay? Let's just, yes, it is. It's just a different label of addiction. And here's the deal. You know, I get it. You know, someone who is addicted to alcohol and does destructive things, okay? I didn't say the consequences don't vary based on addictions, but I want us to put aside the repercussions of the addiction, you know, like alcohol, pornography, all those things that people say, well, those hurt people, those hurt marriages, those hurt driving drunk and all that kind of stuff. I get that, okay? But I want you to move it aside, and just because food addiction doesn't seem to have as higher repercussions as possibly alcohol, drugs, nicotine, pornography, all that kind of stuff like that, it's still a real addiction. And that's the biggest problem, is we don't treat it like an addiction that we label as a real problematic addiction, okay? And we've got to quit doing that. But what we really need to do is move away from pointing at the addiction someone has, like, oh, they've got that addiction, you know, and we stop there. So you look at the addiction and you label the person as bad, okay? You're like, well, they've got this addiction, or they do this repeatedly to sabotage their life. And you look at that, and I get it, okay? I get it. A lot of people get hurt by addictions. And then you look at food addiction, you're like, well, who's getting hurt there? Well, the person that's addicted to it, okay? And don't think that someone who's addicted to food, based on their obsession with it, doesn't interfere with a marriage or a relationship or a job, okay? It does the same thing, because they're preoccupied by, why do I have this addiction? They're no different than someone who is addicted to drugs and alcohol. Why do I have this addiction? And they're so caught up in society basically saying, man, you know, that's bad. You need to quit that. You need to go to rehab. You need all this. All they're doing is talking what I call working from the outside in. And they don't ever get in. They stop with the outside and point the finger at that addiction. And again, the ones that catch the most heat is the ones, like I mentioned, with alcohol, drugs, pornography, all those things that are like, wow, you know, just can't believe, you know, they can't quit doing that. And they're labeled as bad people. And don't get me wrong, I am not discounting out whatsoever the repercussions or the consequences that doing these things cause, okay? I understand people get hurt. And that is not what I'm not discounting it, nor am I saying, oh, you know, you need to quit doing that. I'm going to go deeper in a minute. I'm trying to get you to go a little bit deeper down the rabbit hole and get off of the surface of just saying, you know, why do they do that? And that's bad. Look what they did to their family. Look what they do with their bodies and smoking and food and all that stuff. But nobody really goes into the food part. They just, you know, okay. So I want to go into this. So I'm going to read something, first of all, that we all kind of understand before I go down a little bit deeper on the addictions and why we have them. So a friend of mine, she was a client of mine once upon a time. Her name is Brittany Clay, amazing lady, and her husband, Rob. She wrote this book, and she wrote it, forwarded by me and acknowledging a lot of stuff that she learned through my training. But I really like this. And the title of this chapter is called Don't Give In. Okay, right? Don't give in. Don't give in to your addiction. Don't give in to the temptation, okay? And Brittany puts this pretty clear here, how we all try to cope with this certain temptation, regardless of what it is. Not just food, alcohol, pornography, cigarettes, I mean, whatever else that comes to mind, okay? So she says, there will be days when you are exposed to food that is tremendously tempting, right? Many of these days will be unexpected. It may be a coworker's birthday and someone brings in your favorite cupcakes to celebrate. Other days you may be more prepared, like Thanksgiving, when others persistently challenge you to get off track, right? No matter how prepared you are, understand that the temptation is designed to make you fail at something, right? A temptation is difficult to resist. The word tells us, biblically, the word says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure. The interesting thing about this passage is that it specifically uses the words escape and endure. One meaning of escape is to get away from something difficult or unpleasant. To endure means to tolerate or put up with something unpleasant, right? In any situation you face, God has promised that you will have a way of escape and you will be able to endure. So you can rejoice and have hope in that. Even scripturally, on Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Now, with that being said, I'm a believer, big time. That's the truth, right? Where we need to go and where everyone that has an addiction, regardless of what it is, but let's zero in on what the podcast is about, food addiction. I want to be someone who tells you factually that the addiction is not the problem. Addictions, no matter what they are used to medicate a wound. And they're a deep wound that happened years ago. Or could have been, you know, when you were a child, okay? And that's something you got to research. But hear me again. Addictions are not the problem, okay? So when we're trying to fix people to quit overeating and quit drinking and smoking and watching porn and going out and doing this, and they continue to repeat this behavior, and you're like, why can't you just stop it? You've got to quit looking at what it is you're wanting to stop and understand they're medicating, okay? It's temporary. Don't get me wrong. They know it. The people that are addicted know it's temporary, but it's all they know. They can't figure out why they continue to do something, and they know it makes them feel good temporarily, or it fills that wound. Maybe validation. It may be just feeling good or whatever. They know it's temporary. Why do you think they keep going back to it? They keep going back to medicate with whatever their addiction is. Okay, again, zero in on food. It's a big one. People just think overweight people or just people in general just go overeat because they just don't know any better. No, they're medicating. There's a deep wound in there. But see, no one's addressing this. Okay, no one's talking about this. They're just saying, I don't know, you need willpower. You got to have some confidence. You need to be disciplined. And, you know, all this, get out of your own way. All that stuff just blows my mind. And with my coaching clients, I wipe that stuff out. Look, I'm not going to be that same old guy coming in here and telling you, you just need to quit it. Okay. We work weekly to move past and identify what's going on. And I've said this before, it doesn't get easier. A struggle is a struggle based on a wound. Okay. It's maybe happened so many years ago. The wound is there and it takes time to heal that. But the cool thing is it gets better because once you start understanding why you're addicted to it, what the wound is that you're medicating, things get a little bit better and you start understanding it. And when you understand it, you start to maneuver around it. You see it, you address it before it happens. You don't just mindlessly fall back into the addiction. And I'm not saying it's a perfect formula, but it's working with a lot of my clients. And the program I'm starting right now, called 8 Weeks to Fit and Free, this is what it's about. This is one little area we're going to be addressing in there amongst people losing weight who have lost 18, 19 pounds. That's irrelevant. You can lose all the weight you want to, but if you're not addressing the wound of why you, you know, can't lose weight and keep it off, you're just going to go back eventually. So let's address this. Instead of saying, yeah, man, they smoke all the time. But they're alcoholic. They drink. They can't quit drinking, can't quit eating, can't quit doing this, that. They sabotage everything, every relationship they're in. They sabotage it because they keep doing the same old thing. Yeah, okay. Let's quit looking at the bad part. I again will say this. Please hear me, okay, if you talk about this podcast. I'm not saying the consequences of the damage that they're doing from the addiction is not to be addressed. I understand that. People get hurt, okay? But if the people getting hurt or someone who loves these people can stop for a moment and say, golly, there's some reason they keep repeating this action. I'm going to tell you, this isn't guessing. They are medicating a wound. Some people do it with painkillers. Some people do it with, Xanax. Some people do it with weird stuff that we don't even know about. It's just what they fell into that filled that wound temporarily and medicated it. It made it feel okay for a moment. And why they keep repeating it is because everyone keeps trying to send them through a rehab or quit doing it by actions and willpower. And don't get me wrong. It works. I'm not here to talk about all the different programs. I think they're wonderful. And I would dare say probably some of them are saying, let's talk about why you're doing this. But don't say why we're doing it. That means you're talking about the actions. Let's talk about the wound that was created. So I'll give you an example. Proven, hands down, I won't go into details. Men that did not have fathers in their life raising them, men have a father wound, okay? They have a father wound. And it can only be, you know, it can only have not happened if a man and a son did not bond and the man gave the man gave the son his confidence, his assurance that he can do it and he's good enough. And hey, am I good enough to get it done? All those things come from a father. So men who don't have that have a father wound and they fill it with stuff to medicate it until they start addressing the fact that I need to, you know, fill this wound and recognize it. Okay, now let's go back to food addiction. I try to always do this. I kind of do parables. I think that's what it's called with my coaching clients. I try to go outside of the weight loss talk and show them something that's not related to them so much. And they're like, oh, I kind of can see that. You see it because you're outside looking in. But when you're in your storm of trying to lose weight and keep it off, if someone keeps using weight loss analogies, you're like, hey, yeah, I've done that. I kind of feel like it's kind of a mess because it's about something you're very sensitive about. So take that for instance. Someone who has an addiction to food, and there's not been a person I've coached ever that said, I'm addicted. They call themselves foodies, right? Well, I can call myself that. I like food. But I'm saying I'm not addicted to it. But people that are, you know, they beat themselves up. And you may be listening to this right now and say, that's me. You eat this and you're like, why'd I just do that? You feel guilty. Any addiction that someone commits, they feel guilty about it. They're not doing the addiction and walking around just happy they did it. Oh, man, I feel good I did that. Immediately guilt sets in. But that 5 seconds of gratification is all they know to take. They don't know what other road to take because no one's doing anything except pointing out how horrible of a person they are because they have that addiction, okay? Again, I understand there's consequences and people get hurt, but let's try to help some of these people, especially with food addiction, by saying, okay, let's talk about why. And not just why your actions of eating food. Okay, we know that. You're over there putting food in your mouth. What happened? Where's the wound? What happened? And if you heard the stories I've heard from my clients, especially females, I get it, man. It's like they were told something or they watched something or they saw. All it takes is somebody can say something. You're already kind of self-conscious as a young person maybe about your weight. And then you'd be amazed. Some things stick to people and some don't. But a lot of ladies I've coached, all it took is someone in school to say, wow, you're fat and you will always be fat. And then if you go home and a parent just out of, you know, we don't have a blueprint for kids, right? We try our best. I don't think parents, I do know there's some, aren't just purposely trying to hurt their children, but they say, hey, you know, if you don't quit eating like that, you're going to be fat one day. And they're offering advice. I feel like they're trying to say, look, if you keep eating all that junk, and then someone at school said it, well, you just got validated by an authority figure in your life, and that's your mom and dad. They validated what the kid at school said. Hey, you got to quit eating like that because maybe they are starting to put on some pounds and they do, but that validates it. And immediately it becomes a stronghold in your mind and it becomes an agreement you make with yourself. And when you agree with the agreement, you start living that life. So then you start repetitively now just doing what it is that you don't want to do, but you keep doing it because you validated it. You said, yeah, you know, can't be wrong. Mom said it and the guy at school said it. So now we have a food addiction and we want to quit. In scripture, it says we do what we don't want to do. Okay, straight out of the Bible. It's awesome. We do what we don't want to do. So people aren't just out doing things because they just want to do it and they want to hurt people and they want to ruin their lives. Okay, I promise you that's not what it's about. Okay, I've done the research on this. I get it. But then I don't know how to stop. You know, this happens so often, all the time, whatever it may be. They got to fill that wound. But when you understand there's a wound there, man, that's the first step. Is like, okay, let me shift gears and quit trying to be disciplined and willpower. I'm going to stick to the next weight loss program, and I'm just not going to eat at all. And I'm going to take a shot so I don't feel any hunger whatsoever. Hey, I'm not knocking it, man. I'm not knocking it. Everyone goes down a road that they just feel like that's just going to work for me, right? So we have to look at it from that standpoint that, hey, you know, people are trying anything and they desperately want an answer. And right now that's a big answer. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that's still not addressing the wound, okay? And we've got to go down that road. All right. So with that being said, addictions all have a wound. We medicate with the addiction. So I think I've hammered that. So let's move into this. You need to, please, if you're listening to this podcast, afterwards stop and say, the wound was caused by what? And I promise you, if you'll just sit down with my coaching clients, you got 5 minutes to write down what you think caused this wound, because it's brand new to a lot of people. They've never thought about there's a wound. I always visualize this opening in my side, you know, like this opened and it's, I'm not being gross. I'm just saying it's like a big wound there. And I keep trying to fill it, you know, that's better for now. Well, then it, you know, goes away and the wound's back open again. Well, you got to go fill it again. That's food addiction. Okay. You're feeding a wound. You've got to start looking for the reason. What was the wound? And once you understand what the wound was, that's a whole nother ballgame. You got to start going like, okay, how can I now start, you know, having that wound filled? For men, it's biblical. You ask the Father, God, to father you because you didn't have one, right? And you're not going to have one, right? If you're older, you don't have a father, you're pretty much not going to have a father. You got, you know, go to the main father and say, would you father me and start healing this wound and feeling that love, okay? Now, that's for that. With an addiction to food, it could be a mother wound. I don't know. It could be a mother. It's all, you got to start identifying it. And when you start identifying it, then you're like, what now, Travis? You have to start going and migrating in your mind. Hey, this is what caused it. What can I do to start healing it? You're not going to fix it, okay? Let's just get away from fixing it. And what can I do to start actually nurturing this wound in a healthy way that starts to kind of fill it? And I promise you, you're going to find the answer because my coaching clients do, okay? They start to find what they need because once you identify it, it's like once you see it, you can't unsee it. You know how that term goes? Once you see something, you can't unsee it. Once you recognize what the wound is, you've solved a big part of the problem because you're identifying. I'm going to tell you what, it will be a sense of relief. Like, oh my gosh, I never thought about that. That makes all the sense in the world. That I get it. That connection alone makes you what's called aware. You're consciously aware of what's going on now and why. You've been looking for why. You've been told you're not disciplined and you don't have willpower and all that confidence stuff. And I'm always like, how can they have any confidence? Especially if you're middle-aged and older. You failed so many times. Where's the confidence coming from? I have no confidence. I keep doing this. What do you mean I have confidence in? Willpower. I've tried that. I fail. You try, I'm going to do it. You know, willpower. Willing the power to temporarily get through a situation is what willpower is. It's not meant to be sustained. It can't be. Sustainability is I recognize the wound that I keep feeding, medicating it with food. This is why. And now let me start. You know, some people find out what the wound is. They need to go talk to the person that maybe caused the wound. And simply saying, hey, you know, I just remember you saying this at one time and I validated it as real. And I made a self-agreement that, okay, this is the truth. And I lived it and it became a stronghold in my mind. What did you mean by that? I mean, and then I promise you don't have to say it. I don't even know if I remember saying it. Some people, then some people do directly say it, but just starting to talk about it and getting some answers is the key to you moving forward. It works amazingly. You start going, okay, man, I understand now. Okay, I get why I'm doing this. And man, when you understand that, it's like, oh man, how many years have you been looking for an answer? Okay. It's right there. It's a wound. You medicate it with your addiction. Again, we're talking about weight loss coach here. That would be food. But anyone you know that has an addiction or self-sabotages, I don't care if they do it once and they do it once a year or what is it? You got to find out, like, hey, quit hounding them about it over and over again about what they did. I get it. They need that. But put that aside and say, okay, what do you think is the wound here that you're needing filled? And it helps people to start really recovering and searching for a true answer here. So I would say that some people would say, well, I did this to myself. You know, I can't go there. But I do have people that I coach say, I think I just did this to myself. I started believing. And I can go there a little bit. I've done that one myself. And think about where did I hear it from. You start doing a self-analysis. And if your self-esteem's low, if your confidence is low, because maybe you didn't have a father or you didn't have the mother, okay? I can see if you don't have the confidence or you don't think you have what it takes to get it done, whatever it be, you can start actually creating agreements with yourself and saying, this is really what I believe about me. This is what I think about me. And I get it. And so then now you've got these agreements that take a stronghold and they become real to you. If you feel like you created your addiction, okay, and let's talk about food here. You created this addiction. I'm going to ask you to do an exercise that I ask my clients to do. And I'm going to ask you to write down, spend 5 minutes. And you always, why 5 minutes? It puts you on a clock because you start going, I need to get this out in 5 minutes. Something going. It's not the answer. It gets you going. But if you just say, oh, I'm going to sit here and think about it, write about it. It's a psychological tactic. I did not come up with it. I do not take credit for it, but it works. Clock, 5 minutes, and I'm going to write down. Here's what I want you to do. Write down what you would have done differently if you could write history. If you truly feel that you have a wound that was self-inflicted, if you really feel that, and I'm going to say 1% of you may say that, I'm not going to disagree with you. One thing I do with my clients is I don't try to change their mind. And that's why I work with them where they are. People try to say, well, you're dumb to think like that, or you're not overweight, or oh, quit worrying about it. That's stupid. And you know what they talk to me when they first meet me? I know this is stupid to say. I'm like, stop right there. Do you feel that way? Well, yeah, but everybody thinks I'm stupid. Let's forget about everybody. If you feel that way, you need to feel that way and then work from there. Quit letting people tell you it's stupid to feel the way you do. Because then you're like, am I dumb? Am I stupid? Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. And you start wondering, but if you feel a certain way, whatever it is, acknowledge I feel this way and work from there. So back to the question. Write down what you would do differently if you could rewrite history if you feel it was self-inflicted. What does that mean? Go back to the time that you can remember where you started to believe whatever it is you accepted as the truth about yourself. And if you can't find a wound that was caused by something, someone, some situation, and I'm not pointing fingers at people or moms and dads, okay, man, it's generational. Parents are brought up by their parents. They do what their parents taught them and they pass it on. And I get it. Okay. I don't really think people are just, I think it's generational, but you do need to go back and say, did this happen? I love you, but did this happen? And is that the wound? If you can't find an answer to that, then write down, okay, if I could go back in time and do things differently and rewrite history, what would I stopped and grasped and grabbed onto that I started thinking about myself? And I promise you, the few people that do have done this, they know immediately when the turning point was. Well, when I was in middle school, I remember I just looked in the mirror one day, I was in the bathroom. This is a true story. And I just like, yeah, I've been working hard, working out, I'm athletic, and I'm just fat. And whether they were or not, I don't know. But they took it on a self-agreement and they started to believe that and they accepted that and went on to become very overweight. If that's the time that you made that decision to be okay with that, not necessarily okay, but accepted it's going to be a reality, go back and rewrite history and say, no, that's not the truth. That's not real. I know I can do things to change this. I may have to do this, that, and the other to clean up your eating. I don't know, man. Just go back and here's the deal. You got to get rid of the stronghold that you have in your mind that you feel about yourself. And you know what's even worse? The stronghold sometimes is definitely self-induced, but you start to believe it came from somewhere other than you. That's how ingenious the psychology of the mind is. It starts to say, okay, this came from somebody else, because you would never say that about yourself. You would never have started talking like that about yourself, because we have an ego and our ego wants to defend us. Not only egotistical, there's an ego and there's like, you know, we can't let him say that. So we're going to say this came from somewhere, but I don't know where. If that comes up or you feel that way, go back and start saying, where did the wound come from? You'll find it. I've not met anybody I've coached yet that has not found it, but you have to search for it. And you got to turn your thinking around and working from the inside out. That's what I do in my programs. This program right now, we're starting on May 4th, 8 weeks to fit and free. It's what's called fit and free. You're going to get fit. You're going to lose weight. You're going to lose a lot of weight, but you're going to be free because you're understanding you, why you do what you do. Where's your wound? What are these things that you call habits you can't break? Or why do you, I mean, all kinds of things like that. So it's more than just eat this, workout, and exercise. You're going to be eating foods you love. You're going to eat carbs. You're going to eat normal food. You're going to lose 18, 19 pounds like the people have gone through it. Okay. The food's amazing because you pick it out. But with that being said, you get to shift into understanding you. So, hey, gang, a little passionate about this one. I think it's really just needed information out there so we can quit always just pointing and saying, they've got this addiction. They do this. They do that. They've caught, again, I understand people get hurt. Okay. I don't deny that. And that needs to be healed in itself. But on the same token, maybe you look back and say, I don't like what happened there. I don't like what they're doing to themselves. I don't like them drinking all the time. Okay, I get it. But maybe start trying to help them, if they're not listening, to say, hey, you ever thought about what causes this addiction you had that you keep feeding and medicating with it? And let's go back there. And I'll say this, they've got to want to heal the wound or find some answers, okay? You got to want it. You can't just tell them that and think that's cool, and it is, I think. And they're like, yeah, whatever. They got to be ready. They got to be ready to want to search and dig in and find out, you know, what caused it. So, hey, probably a little over time here. I try to keep these to 20 minutes so you guys don't get, you know, 1 hour podcast bore me to death. That's just me. And I don't care how good the content is. So I went over a little bit. I hope you enjoyed this, and please do me a favor with this one, especially. I'd love you to do them all. Pass this to somebody. It's going to be emailed out soon, but you can take this, copy it, send it to people, man. This is something that could save someone's just, you know, beat down on themselves. Start saying, okay, let me quit shifting on how much I keep doing it and start looking for why I'm doing it and not the actions on why am I medicating with food. So love you guys. I'll see you next week for episode number 20.